The first song that we sang tonight, that song, Why? Why is generally not a good question to ask. When you're going through something painful, why is generally the wrong question. Why is this happening? Right? It's certainly a very natural question, but it's generally not too helpful. I was just looking at our cross up here, and if you remember, a number of years ago, Bruce had us bring stones. You know, and they're supposed to be stones of something significant in our lives. And I noticed that this one was put right on the top. And it says March 3rd, 2004, Camille Stenson. And that was probably one of the first, or one of the times when that, the wrongness of asking why was really underscored for me. Or the way, how unhelpful, I guess that was, to ask why. Fortunately, God kept me from asking why too much. That was when our granddaughter died, for those who didn't know. Camille was our granddaughter, and she died during birth. So that was a tough time. And what was more important was not the answer to the question why, but knowing that Jesus was right there carrying our pain in himself. That he wasn't, you know, remote someplace else, but that he was right there carrying our pain. But sometimes why is a good question, and I think that the way it's used in this song is appropriate when we're looking at why did Jesus come? Why did he suffer? Why did he go through all those things? I read once a little piece by Michael Carter, either read it or saw him talking about it, about when he wrote this song, and how, like as he's getting ideas for a song, you know, he's saying, "Oh, this is a great question, you know, why did they use a kiss to betray him? That's not what a kiss is for." And he's got all these great questions, and he goes, "Yeah, but I don't have any answers." And you know, he's just going, "Yeah, it was just so wrong." And then, one by one, God started to show him the answers as to why Jesus suffered in the way that he did. You know, we then sang at the foot of the cross, and I'd like to share a song with you here that's a fairly new one, I think. I'm not sure how new this one is. It doesn't have a date on the copyright. I hadn't heard it before, but it's written from the viewpoint of the Apostle John, who went through Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and all the way to Easter. And it really reflects all of that from his viewpoint. And so I want you to kind of think about yourself as if you were going through this. And you didn't know how it was all going to work out as it was going along. You know, it's just kind of unfolding real time for you. Okay?
I was with him when he rode into town, and the crowds gathered round him like a king. Their smiling faces joined a sea of branches waving, though they were masquerading in the end. And my heart rose in my throat when I heard them sing, Hosanna. In the highest, oh, 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 oh. We went upstairs, broke the bread and drank the wine from the only living vine that we would taste. And I watched them take him up the mountainside, where he was crucified, though innocent. And they mocked him, and they cursed him with their mouth, and they told him to come down if he was God. And my heart broke in my chest when I heard him say, forgive them. It is finished. Oh, 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 oh. And I remember in the garden when he sweat drops like blood, and how he begged the Father just to let him pass this cup. And I can still feel the anguish when they pierced him in the side, and how the ground beneath us shook upon the very moment that he died. Oh, oh, oh. Days later, we found an empty grave, and the stone was rolled away where he had been. Tears of joy streamed down my face when the angel said, oh, not. He is risen. Oh, fear not. He is risen. Oh. Oh, 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 oh.
I was with him. I was with him when he rode into town. I was with him when he was crucified. The Apostle John was with him. With him. You know, there were a couple other guys who were maybe even closer with him. One on the left, one on the right. They were crucified with him. Crucified with him at the same time, same place. They died the same day. Same time. But you know what? There's even a closer, someone who is closer than those two thieves. And that's our Galatians passage. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I was with him. I was with him not just down here looking up. I was with him not just over here on the side looking over. I was crucified with him. That sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But it's true. Romans 6, if you want to turn there, I'm going to look at Romans 6, verses 6 through 10. Listen to what this says. We know that our old self was crucified with him. With him. I was with him. So that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. I was with him. I was with him. I died with him. I want you to think about this envelope here. If I were to put a stamp on this envelope and write an address on there and send it to Toledo, Ohio. Why Toledo, Ohio? No good reason, just because it's a city that popped into my head. Okay, what happens to all those slips of paper that are inside there? They go to Toledo, Ohio. What if I were to take this and I were to set it on fire? What would happen to all those pieces of paper inside there? They would be burned too, but I was just burning the envelope. But because all those other pieces of paper with your names on it are inside the envelope, whatever happens to the envelope happens to you. Well, this is a Lamb of God envelope, right? Who is the Lamb of God? Jesus is the Lamb of God. And I want you to look at one other verse here. This is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Can somebody find that and just read it out real nice and loud? You are in Christ Jesus. How did you get there? How did that happen? The verse that he just read tells us. The first couple of words.
He placed us there.
He put us there. We couldn't put ourselves into Christ Jesus, but God put us into Christ Jesus. And you know what? Because he did that, when Jesus was crucified, remember, whatever happens to the envelope happens to what's inside of it too. When Jesus was crucified, I was crucified. When Jesus was crucified, you were crucified. Now, why is that important? You know, it's a wonderful thing that Jesus shed his blood and washed us from our sins. But do you ever get tired of, okay, thanks God for cleansing me from my sin, and then going and doing it again? And it's like you got no power over that. You know, you just keep on going back and again and again and again. Why is that? Because there's two different things. There's sins that you do, and there's a principle of sin or the power of sin that you are. And you get washed clean from the guilt and all of that, but there's still this bondage that wants to hang on to you. Well, where did that bondage come from? It came by birth. You were born in sin, the Bible says. I was born in sin. Every human being since Adam has been born in sin. It's our inheritance that we got. Well, what's the only way out of that inheritance? If it came by birth, what's the only way out? Death. Death. God provided for that. You know, interesting fact, you cannot commit suicide by crucifixion. You can't crucify yourself. Can't do it. But God provided that in Jesus, we are in him, and we were crucified with him. I have been crucified with Christ. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. I have died. When Jesus died, two of the last things he said, number one, it is finished. And it's finished for you. Finished for you. It's finished for you. It's finished for me. It's finished for you. I can say, it is finished. It's completed because of what Jesus has done. And then he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I was in Jesus at that time too. Would you say those two things with me? First, we're going to say, it is finished. And then, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. We'll take a little bit of time to pause in between. Just close your eyes because we want it to, it's affirming the truth of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Lord God, I pray that you would seal up these things, Lord, just like I sealed up the envelope, Lord, that we would be so sealed together with you, Lord God, that nothing else could get in there. Romans 6:11 goes on. It says one more thing, which I want to leave with you. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's an accounting term. Accountants don't make things up. Sometimes it depends on the accountant. But a good accountant is going to be stating what the reality is. Now, if I were to say, I'm going to account or reckon is another translation for the word. I'm going to reckon that I've got $550 in my billfold. Can I do that? Well, not really. It's more like 5, 10, 11, 12, 13. $13. So $550, I can't legitimately reckon, I have $550. No, I don't. But I have no difficulty reckoning I have $13 in my billfold. Because it's the truth. It's the reality of the situation. Now, when God calls us to reckon something, is he going to call you to reckon something that's a lie? That's a myth? No, he's going to call you to reckon something that is the truth. And what is the truth? Even so, count yourselves to be dead to sin. You are dead to sin. It's the truth. And you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Whenever your experience is lagging behind, remind it what the truth is. Your experience will eventually catch up. I've heard it explained this way. It's kind of like a train. You know, where is the power on the train? It's the engine. And in the old steam ones, you had a coal car and you would shovel coal into the engine. You know, so you had the engine, which is the power, and the coal goes in there to fuel it. And then the caboose comes up along behind, right? Just like that. Well, the engine is this fact that God has told us. You are dead to sin. You're alive to God in Christ Jesus. The coal? Faith. I believe what God said. And if I shovel my coal into the fact of what God said, the caboose, my experience, will follow. It'll come a little later, but it will follow. Now, if I take my coal and I shovel it into the caboose, what do I get? A dirty caboose. Yeah, and no power. Yeah, so it's not my experience that I need to be focusing on and putting my faith there. If I put my faith there, I've got no power and a dirty caboose. If I put my faith in what God has said, I am dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Even so, reckon ye yourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. I think that was King James Version, but that's where I first memorized that verse. Even so, reckon ye yourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. You have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I died. And when Christ rose, I rose with him. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you for who you are, for what you've done, for the power of your work on the cross, for the finality of it, that when you said, "It is finished," it is indeed finished. Thank you for holding us in you, God. Thank you for sealing us up, making us yours.